The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Welcome. We're glad you're here. We're continuing our series called Transformed. We started the series about a month ago, looking back at the scriptures that tell us that God wants us to be a transformed people. The truth is that you and I were brought into this world and we were incomplete. We were broken as a result of sin in our world. You and I struggle with sin. Nobody has to teach you how to sin. It comes natural. Nobody has to teach you how to be greedy. Nobody has to teach you how to be selfish. It's just we're wired that way. When God created the heavens and the earth and he created us as mankind, we weren't broken. We were just the way he wanted us to be. But God also gave us the ability to choose whether to reject him or to follow him. And when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, our world was cursed and all of mankind was cursed. And now you and I, we have sin in our lives and we got to deal with that. God loves us so much though that he sent his son. God became flesh, and knowing that we were separate from him, he pursued us. He is a loving God, a caring God, an all-powerful God. But he's also a just God. And for sin, there must be a payment for that sin. And so God took our sins upon himself in the form of Jesus Christ. When Jesus went to the cross, his body was broken. His blood was shed for us. At the end of service today, we're going to take communion remembering that beautiful act of love. Jesus taking our sin, taking our place, and dying for us so that anyone who would call on him as Savior and Lord would be forgiven and washed clean. The Bible says that though your sins be like scarlet, they can be washed white as snow. And so as we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he not only forgives us, but he transforms us. Our key verse for the series has been Romans 12, chapter 2, and it says this: do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. God has called us to be a transformed people. He didn't just send into this earth and wind it up and walk away and say, okay, live, make the best of it. God wants to be intimately involved in every detail of our life. A couple weeks ago, we looked at how a lot of times we have struggles in our life for one main reason. We want to be in control of our own life. We want to be our own God. Whether you believe in God or not, by living our own way, we say, you know what, we're good. We got control. And we play God in our own life. We have to realize that there is a God. And not only is there a God, but there's a God who loves us and cares for us and is powerful enough to come into any circumstance or situation in our world and show us how to live the right way, to help us get through the tough stuff. Not make the tough stuff disappear, but to help us live through it and to grow through it. I tell a story often, no laughing at me or telling the punchline because most of you know it. Years ago, there was this guy driving in his brand new car on a bright sunny day. As he's going down the road, though, something happens and his car comes to a halt. He jumps out. He can't figure out how to start it. It's a Model T, brand new. He opens up the hood. He's twisting that, pulling that, cranking this, yanking that. Nothing he can do can figure out how to get the car started. He gets so frustrated, he kicks the car, and he sits on the side of the road. Short while later, another car comes up. Another gentleman comes out, and he walks up to the first guy, and is like, what's wrong? Is everything okay? You're just enjoying the sunset out here? What's going on? And the guy's like, no, I was driving out here. I don't know how to get home. Can you bring me home? I can't get the car started. And the second guy says, well, do you mind if I take a look? He's like, dude, I've tried everything. I can't get the car. It's broken. He's like, well, just give me a couple seconds. Fine, knock yourself out. So the guy walks up to the car, the second guy that arrived. And in a matter of moments, he does a few little things. And with one crank, the car starts right up. The guy's just blown away and amazed. And he's like, how in the world did you do that? And the guy goes, well, sir, my name is Henry Ford. Some of you have no idea what that means. The truth in this life is that many of us, we go through life and there are habits and hurts and hangups. There are things that we get stuck in. There are things that trip us up and we try to fix them on our own, don't we? We try to take our hurts and we try to run from them. Or we try to cover them and grow numb to them. We try to deal with things, habits, hurts, situations, relationships gone wrong, bad work scenarios. We try to fix things in our own way, and many times we make them just worse than they were to begin with. When from the beginning, if we would simply get in the habit of turning to our Creator, Henry Ford invented that car, if you don't know. He made that car. He knew exactly how to fix the car, exactly how to get it going. And we have a God who made you, who made me, who knows how we're wired, who knows our strengths, who knows our weaknesses, and he's a God that loves and cares for us if we simply would come to him. The first week we talked about how there is a God and that God wants to be in control of your life, not in a negative way at all, but in an empowering way. He wired you to be his child, and he wants to empower you and live through you so that you have the most amazing life that he purposed for you to live. The second week we talked about how realizing that God is there demands us to put our trust in him, that he is there. He's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, and he is a creator. But it's not enough just to know who God is and believe those things. You've got to put your faith and trust in God. You got to let him take control. And that's our focus today, is how do we turn to God and develop a new way of thinking instead of going through life trying to deal with our habits, hurts, and hang-ups on our own? How can we put our faith and trust in God each and every day? Not just one time at a church conversion experience, but each day. Monday, how do you make God the Lord of your life? Tuesday, how do you make him the Lord of your business meeting? Wednesday, how has he become number one in your life on your sports team? How is God the center of your life in all areas? There are reasons why this is hard for us, and we're going to look at about five of those today. And maybe one of these will strike a chord for you. My hope is that as you go through this study with me today, that you'll allow yourself to see what God's trying to show you. The truth is that some of us are dealing with some habits that we can't shake, that we can't break, some hurts that we need real help to get those wounds healed. We're dealing with some addictions that we can't break on our own. And we as a church want to be a place where we're real with one another, not just hiding behind a false facade. Oh yeah, we got it all together, but being real by strengthening each other, lifting each other up. Our church started Hope Hills Ministry about a year ago. We've got a few licensed counselors on staff. We've got a few social workers that meet to help you. We know that we want you to know who Jesus is and that he loves you, but we know that some of you know that, but you still have some hurts. You still need some help. And we want to be a church that helps you get that help. We all need it. And we've got to realize that our first step is coming to him and making what is put. I'm going to give you a phrase that comes from a study called Celebrate Recovery. In the 1930s, there were two men who were Christian men. They had some friends who were having struggles with alcohol addiction. And they developed what's called the 12 steps based on scriptural principles that is now used in the program AA. That program was boiled down about 20 years ago, and Rick Warren wrote a study called Celebrate Recovery, and this phrase is from that study. There comes a point where we must not just know that God's there, but that we consciously choose, this is in your notes, by the way, if you're taking notes, that we consciously choose to commit all, not just part, not just the religious part of our life, but all of our life. We choose to commit my life and my will to Christ's care and his control. A lot of us, we want the love and care of God. We want that side. We're like, you know, I've got these things broken. God, will you fix it? We've got this going on. God, will you take care of it? A lot of us, we don't want to do the second part. We don't want to come to him and say, God, okay, I give you control. Today, we're going to talk about how we surrender to the control of God in our life. in Matthew chapter 28, excuse me, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 30, Jesus says these words. He says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened." How many of you have ever been weary or burdened? By anything. Come on. I know some of you are tough and you've not been weary or burdened by anything. But let's be honest with each other. It's church, okay? Actually, we're always the church. We should always be honest with each other. How many of you have ever been weary or burdened? Raise your hands. If you are weary or burdened, Jesus says, "Come to me. I want to give you rest. I want to care for you." He goes on and he gives a picture of like a farm scenario. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." A yoke back then was a device used, and it's still used in some instances today, where they would hook up a couple animals to a plow a field, and many times you'd have an experienced animal who was trained, who knew how to walk right, and they would take a younger, inexperienced animal, and they would put this device, like a wooden or metal device, around their neck so that they would learn to walk together. So that the inexperienced animal would learn from the more experienced, and together they would learn how to plow the field together, and this guy wouldn't just be wandering off crazy. He would be connected to one who had been there, who had walked those paths, who knew how to do it in a way to not wear yourself out. It would help the animal keep pace and walk the right kind of way to get the job done. Jesus says to you and I, he says, "Take my yoke upon you. I want to walk with you side by side." There are still fields that need to be plowed. Jesus doesn't promise to take the fields of our life away. He doesn't promise to take the struggles and the hurts and the hardship, but he promises to walk with us through them, to help us bear the weight of those burdens. He says, "Take my weight upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." So why don't we all just go for that? Well, there are reasons. There are five reasons I'm going to give you this morning. Reasons why we don't just simply surrender control to God in our life. Number one, what is the first reason? Pride. From the beginning of time, pride has been an issue for all of us. The scriptures tell us that it was actually Lucifer, one of the chief of all angels, who later was cast out, and we refer to him as the devil or Satan now. Angel Lucifer was in heaven, and he said, "I don't want to worship the God, the King of Kings anymore. Instead of thy will, my will. I will ascend on high. I will take the throne on high. I want to be worshipped." Satan and pride, that pride came before he was cast out of heaven. Pride comes before a fall. Proverbs 18:12 says this. It says, "Before a downfall, the heart is haughty." Not a haughty like a cute guy, but haughty like proud, like stubborn. Our hearts are wicked, the Bible says, and deceitful above all things. Well, I'm just following my heart. Don't. Has your heart ever led you astray? Have you ever wanted something so bad, but you knew it was so wrong? That's what our heart will do. And so we have to learn to get our heart and our desires in line with who God is and what's best for us. Before a downfall, the heart is haughty, it's proud. But humility comes before honor. I remember growing up, my dad, he hit this age in life. And I talk about my dad a lot, but today I actually get to. He's sitting in the back now. They came in to visit us. I love you, Dad. they came to visit us for the anniversary. And by the way, there's a little game today. I grew up in Denver. I'm so nervous for today. Let's move along. So anyway, I remember growing up and my dad, we were at the mall. My brother and my dad and I, we knew we had to leave the mall at a certain time. And Dad was like, "Okay, it's time to leave." So we start walking, and the next thing we know is we're walking out Jocelyn's. You guys ever heard of Jocelyn's? It's a store out west. Anyway, it's a big department store. And we know we parked at the other end at Sears. And so we just keep walking like Dad's leading us. It's like, finally, I just said, Dad, where are we going? Don't we have to leave? He's like, yeah, we're going. It's like, we parked at the other end of the mall. He was like, oh, yeah, I knew that. And they turned around. It's like, if I ever get that.
Sorry, Dad. Okay, so three nights ago, we were in D.C., Brandy and I, and we're leaving. Do you guys know on StubHub you can get like $18 tickets to hockey games? Yes. So I got them for Valentine's Day a little early, but we took Brandy to the hockey game. So we're leaving the stadium, and Brandy's like, where are you going? I'm like, we're going to the car. Of course, right? She's like, I don't think we went this way. I'm like, Brandy, just follow me. So we're going, we get down, we take the stairs down, and going out this door, and as soon as we got the door, the stores do look different on the outside. She's like, John, I think we went the wrong way. And I'm like, no, this is right, this is right. I had to turn around 3 times. Pride comes before a fall. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:8, it says, the self-sufficient fool falls flat. Another version says, the wise heart accepts commands. I should have just listened. I should have just been wise that day and listened to Brandy. She knew the right way, and I was falling in my father's footsteps. But a chattering fool comes to ruin. We have to be careful not to let pride get in the way of us making the right choice. Die to your pride. Number two, many times guilt is that thing that gets in the way. Guilt. But many of us, we feel too ashamed to come to God. I've had friends I've invited to church. Fellow stormtroopers, those of you that don't know. I'm a part of this little Star Wars group. Anyway, we dress up. It sounds really weird. But I've invited some of them to church, and they're like, John, if I were to set foot in your church, I would burst into flames the minute I walked in. Many of us feel that way. We feel like our sins are just too deep. There's too much on us. We can't come to God. David put it like this in Psalm 40. He said, for troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. Another version says, I am too ashamed to even look up. God wants us to know that the best place for us to come when we are overcome with sin is to Him, to look up to Him. He is there ready to love on us, to care for us, no matter how much guilt, no matter how much junk, no matter what you've done. God is a loving God that loves you still. He loves you so much that He became flesh, and He allowed Himself to go on a cross to bear our sin, to take our sin upon Himself. Anything you've ever done wrong, He felt that weight. Everything you're planning on doing, He already died for it. He already felt, He took that. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He bore the weight of our sins on the cross. And He would do it again if He had to. But He conquered sin and death and victory to set us free. And He's just waiting for you to realize that. Lift up your head. Don't wallow in your shame. Don't let the enemy convince you that you're not good enough. The truth is none of us are good enough. And we simply need to accept the love that God offers and come to Him to be set free. Don't let guilt keep you away. Number three, third reason many of us don't come to Christ is out of fear. I'm afraid of what I might have to give up. Some of us, we've grown comfortable in our brokenness. We've grown comfortable in our habits. We've learned how to manage the things that are wrong in our life, and we got it good. I watched a movie a couple weeks ago with Brandy called The Room. Anybody here seen it? It's kind of like, it's up for a lot of awards, but it's a sad story, but very beautifully told about a young girl who gets kidnapped. And she's held in captivity for ages. And while in captivity, she actually conceives and gives birth to a son. The first 5 years of this child's life, it's her and her son, and that's it. They're in a 10-by-10 shed, day and night. That child knows nothing else but that room. As the movie goes on, without giving too much away, the child actually, that's the only world he knows, and he grows comfortable and safe. It's what he loves. And many of us, we're stuck in our muck.
but we know it, and it's comfortable, and it feels good, and we're afraid of what it might be like if things were different. The Israelites, when they were led out of Egypt, kind of had the same thing going on. They were slaves in Egypt, but as Moses was leading them to the promised land, it was all unknown. There were things they didn't know what was going on, and they were like, Moses, just take us back to Egypt. At least there we had food, and we knew what kind of life we had. Some of us, we want to just stay in our yuck and be comfortable. We're afraid of what might happen. There's a story about a guy who's walking on a mountain, and he slips and falls off, and on his way down, 500 feet down, he grabs a branch, and his life is saved, and he looks down, it's 500 feet down, he looks up, 500 feet up, and he just starts yelling, "Help! Somebody help!" And he hears the voice of God miraculously say, "Just let go, I've got you." And he yells, "Is there anybody else up there?" And that's how many of us are living. We don't want to do it God's way. We've grown comfortable. We like what's going on. We've grown accustomed to it. We're afraid of what might happen if we change things. Some of us, we're afraid of losing a relationship. Even though it's a wrong relationship we shouldn't be in, we're afraid of losing some kind of status. If we adjust things, we know that we should adjust. We hold on to things we shouldn't hold on to. There's a technique used by some Bushmen in the African Sahara. And is that the right place? Anyways, in Africa, these guys who hunt and stuff, they'll track these monkeys. If they're at a place where they don't know where water is, or if they need a dinner, the way they'll capture these monkeys is they'll go up to a termite mound or the side of a hill, or even a small tree, and they'll make a hole in it, and they'll put a trinket or something inside, and the monkeys that are watching are so curious, they'll go over to that, whatever that hole is, and they'll stick their hand in it and get a hold of it, and because it's a fist now holding something, they can't get it back out, and they will struggle and struggle, never letting go of the very thing that's going to bring their destruction as the Bushmen come over and get the monkey. All along, they could have just let go and been set free. Many of us are living that way. We're holding on to things that we think will give us hope, will give us freedom, will give us pleasure, will help us deal with life. And instead, we're just waiting for the pain and the destruction to come. We need to learn to let go. Mark 8:36 says, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world? Whatever it is you think you're holding on to, what good is it if you end up forfeiting your soul?" Instead, we need to let go and let God into our life. But something else that happens in us, number four, is that we worry. If I do this, if I change this, how in the world am I going to deal with life? In 1963, Kennedy made the decision, we're going to put a man on the moon. By the end of the decade, we're going to get somebody there. Had he known exactly how? No. That was NASA's problem to figure out how to do it. Kennedy simply had to make a decision. And in leadership, he did that. He made the decision, we're going to do this, and NASA figured out the rest. When we planted Hope Hill Church, we weren't sure, Randy and I, exactly how everything was going to happen. We just knew God was leading us to do it, and we had to make a decision. All right, we told a few of our friends, we told a supporting church, we feel God's leading us to do this. I had a good job. There was no promise of pay to come. We didn't have a building. We didn't have you people. Actually, I didn't know most of you back then. But we knew that God wanted us to make a decision. And in faith and obedience, we simply made the decision. We didn't worry. We let God take care of those aspects. Many of us in life were worried about how we'll complete the job, and so we never get it started. You, how many of you planning on going to lunch after church today? How many? Two of you. Okay. The rest of you are going to just wait? Well, if the two of you decide to go to lunch and you're like, okay, we'll leave the parking lot as soon as we know that all the lights from here to there are green, you would never leave. You would sit here waiting forever. We need to simply just be the people that don't hide behind worry. We simply make the decision. We take the step to put our faith in God.
God, I don't know how you're going to heal me, but I trust you. God, I don't know how you're going to save me, but I put my faith in you. God, I don't know X, Y, Z, but today I give you me. I didn't mean to make that rhyme, and I don't know how I'm just going to keep going. Anyway, we got to simply just go. We got to take the first step and let God take the rest. In World War II, the Marines had a strategy where they would win the Pacific by establishing beachheads on islands. Although it was difficult, many lives were lost, the strategy worked. A lot of times there would be the softening phase where they would just bomb and bombard the coast, softening up so that they could put boots on the ground and move in and set up a beachhead. In every scenario, whenever the Marines were able to establish a beachhead, there was battles, there was struggle, but every time there was a beachhead established, that the victory was won eventually. And today is the day for you to allow God to establish a beachhead in your life. To come in, allow the Holy Spirit to move in, and let Him begin to plot the course how He's going to transform the rest of you. Your habits, your hurts, and your hang-ups, you can't take care of on your own. Let God come in and begin to transform you one victory, one battle at a time. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. And it's not about how good you are. It's about how great a God He is. As a father of three daughters growing up, there would be many times we'd be out in what might be a dangerous situation, either out in a really high populated place and they could get separated and lost, or walking down the street of a busy street, and I would hold their hand. And no matter what or how distracted they would get, trying to let go of Daddy's hand, I loved them so much that I was not letting go of their hand. And we have the same kind of love from our Father. As soon as you put your faith and trust in Him, He is there to hold on to your hand, and no matter how much you try to pull away, He is going to complete the work that He has begun in you. He is going to hold on to your hand and help you through one step at a time. It says this in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. We aren't serving a weak, mamby-pamby God. We have a God who's all-powerful, all-loving, and He is the one that will change you. You can't do it on your own. The Scriptures say, even if we are faithless, He will be faithful still. Come to Him. Submit to Him. And He will take care of the rest. Number 5, next reason why we sometimes don't move forward with God is out of doubt. I simply don't have enough faith in God to believe in Him. I'm not even sure that He's really real. I don't even know that I believe in all the Bible. Do you believe that Jesus loves you? Are you willing to simply say, God, show me who You are. I heard You died on the cross for me. Forgive me. Come into my life and show me. Take that first step and let God take the rest. There's a guy named Jairus in the Bible who came to Christ. He had heard Christ was healing and he needed help. He needed his daughter taken care of, and he said, I want to believe, but I have unbelief. Help my unbelief. And Jesus said, your faith has caused your daughter to be healed. It was that little bit of faith needed. The Bible says, though your faith is as small as a mustard seed, you will be able to move a mountain. It's not about how big your faith is. It's about what you're putting your faith in. And we have a God who's all-powerful, who is there to take us from this point to the next. I know for many of us, we're hiding behind one of these 5 things. We're dealing with junk in our life, but we simply just need to do this step. God, I give up. I give into You. Come into my life and make me new. Check out this video.
Hi, my name is Amir. I am 17 years old, and God gave me a story to tell you. I come from a divorced family, and both my parents got remarried during my childhood. I stayed with my biological mom in Virginia while my biological dad moved to California. I didn't know about God for most of my life. I went to church, but that was only because my mom and my stepdad went. 3 years ago, my stepdad died because he had a blood clot. Instantly, my life was surrounded by sadness. There was no way to getting away from it. So I tried to escape the deep sadness by moving to California and living with my biological dad. My relationship with my dad barely existed. He didn't show much love for me or even make me feel like he cared for me. I never felt like I could make him proud for anything I did. So I was stuck again with this sadness. I wanted to forget all the bad things that was happening in my life. So I started not caring and exploring different ways to get my mind off my stepdad's death and my real dad not really caring about me. I filled the emptiness inside me with partying and getting high. At least then I would feel numb to reality. I got stuck in this routine of still feeling sad, and nothing that I did could fix this emptiness. I moved back to Virginia with my mom this past summer, but I still found myself at parties after I got the news that my cousin passed away. One night I was coming home from a party and I almost hit a cop car because I was intoxicated. At that point, I knew something had to change in my life. I went to church in the morning because I really needed something, but I still wasn't sure what it was. Later that week, I went to the Bible study to try to get my mind straight. I knew I needed help. One person challenged me to read a section from Romans. The verse she gave me was exactly what I needed. That night was the first time I felt a real connection with God, and it had made me want to know God more. Since then, God has given me the strength to change my life around and no longer feel like I had to deal with my sadness alone. I want to better myself and feel God's love for me. I know He wants better for me too. I still struggle with sadness sometimes, but God is there for me to get me through those times. I want to help people feel the same love and strength that comes from Him that I know. I now want to live to be closer to Jesus.
Many of you know Amir, and the story for him was that he, as we were talking through a lot of this, it was, I don't know that I know enough of the Bible to put my faith in God. I don't know that. He had a ton of questions. I mean, just a couple days ago, we were met for an hour and a half, he and I, and just going one question at a time. It's not about figuring out everything and then coming to God. It's simply coming to Him and letting Him answer those questions and walk you through the life that He has you to walk through. There are four things I want to give you as our band comes up to lead us in a time of worship and response. How do we take these steps? The first one, just quickly, is number one, we have to accept that God's Son is our Savior, our Messiah. He's the one that can help you through any of this. Acts chapter 16:31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. It starts there. Some of you, that's your first step today. Today, your decision is, I'm opening up my heart to Jesus. Jesus, come in. Number two, I'm going to accept God's Word as my standard. God left these words for us, written by 40 different men over 1,500 years. This is a miraculous book, a love letter from God to lead us. And we want to help you learn it. We want to help you navigate through it. But God's Word was given to us to lead us. It's our standard. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in all righteousness. Number three, I accept God's will as my strategy. Psalm 48 says, I desire to do Your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. You got to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and let Him take care of everything else. I accept God's will as my strategy. In the fourth area, I accept God's power as my strength.
We can't be transformed by our own power. We have to be plugged into Him and the love and the power that He pours into us. Revelation 3:20 says, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens up the door of their life, I will come in and sup with him. Christ is ready. He's knocking on your door. He wants to come into your life to give you the power you need to be transformed, the power to be healed, the power to be changed. Maybe you're sitting there saying, I've done all this before. It's a process. Amir still has questions, but he knows who to get the questions answered by. He's walking with people who can help him. He knows he's not walking through this life alone. And the same is for you. You're not going to be transformed overnight. There's not some magic wand we're going to wave as you walk out the door and you're all of a sudden a transformed new person. It's one step at a time, dying daily to yourself, becoming more alive in Christ, allowing Him to transform you. But it begins with you making a choice. Those cards we passed out. As our band leads us today in our time of response, we're reminded each week that the only way that any of this is possible is because of what Christ did for us. It's His power that we need in our life. His body was broken, His blood was shed. In a few moments, you can make your way to one of these communion stations to remember. You take a piece of bread, a reminder of Christ's body broken for us. You dip it in the cup, a reminder of the blood shed for us. You take time to remember that, reflect on it, and say, God, I'm going to live for you because of what you did for me. But for some of you, you need to make the first choice, and that's accepting Christ as your Savior. On the back of your card, each individual, I want to ask you to make one of three choices today. On the back of your card, your choice might be, today I'm surrendering. Today I'm committing my life to Jesus. I'm asking Jesus to be my Savior. I want you to put your name on the front, and I want you to check that box in the back. Today I commit. It's something that I want to know as your pastor. I want our church to know so that we can surround you and lift you up and encourage you as you walk this journey. I'm going to ask that you turn that card into me today so I can pray over it, so I can connect with you. I want to help you in this journey. Is that your first step? Number two, some of you have made that decision, but today you're realizing there are some areas in my life that I'm dealing with on my own. I have control of, they're not going well, and I need to surrender them to God as well. And today I recommit, I rededicate my life, every area of my life I give to you. God, today I recommit. And you need to check that second box. Today I recommit my life. And maybe some of you just aren't ready. You're hanging on. I respect you for that, but I want to help you to learn how to let go. And if you want to at least have some talks, some discussions, in the middle column on the back of your card, there's a box you can check. I want to learn more about growing in my faith or accepting Christ as my Savior. And we can connect. And I'll try to help you figure out what that next step might be. To get help, to let go, to put your faith in Christ. Please, check the box you know you need to check. And begin that journey with Christ today. Father God, move in our lives right now. Show us how you want to use us. Show us how you want to transform us. And help us to begin today by making the decision to put our faith and trust in you in every area of our life. And let us be reminded how much you love us as we take communion together today. In your name we pray.